Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry.
Today we're joined by Charlotte Dahl and Chris Lees. Charlotte is chairing our virtual internal communications conference, taking place on the 17th and 18th of September, and is also an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, and trainer with a unique view on employee engagement and internal communications. Having spent equal parts of her career in consumer then employee communications, Charlotte brings the rigour of the ad agency into internal communications. Chris Lees is a case study presenter at our upcoming conference and is head of internal communications consumer operations at Virgin Media. Chris and his team are responsible for the creation and delivery of leadership and operational content for customer-facing teams across the consumer business.
So hi everyone, and thanks for listening to this Engage Employee podcast. My name is Charlotte Dahl, and today I'm joined by Chris Lees, who, as you know, is Head of Internal Communications, Consumer Operations at Virgin Media. So, Chris, hi. Welcome to our podcast. Hope you're keeping safe and well.
Morning, Charlotte. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. All good this end. And thanks for inviting me along.
An absolute pleasure. It's really lovely to have the opportunity to chat to you in advance of our virtual Internal Communications Conference later this year, of which you're one of our speakers. So just to start us off, Chris, could you just tell us a bit about you and your role at Virgin Media?
Absolutely. Morning, everyone, and thanks for that, Charlotte. So my name is Chris Lees. I am Head of Internal Communications for our consumer operations at Virgin Media. So what that actually means is that myself and my team and I, we look after all of the frontline sales and customer service operations teams, just essentially making sure that they know exactly what they need to do, what they need to say, and to ensure that they have the sort of meaningful and correct conversations with our customers. So that's one hat from very operations side of things. We also look after some leadership and engagement activity as well for a number of our leaders across the business within the consumer organisation. We're actually a centralised internal comms function. So I'm also involved in multiple sort of cross-functional workings, especially when it comes to our purpose and our North Star, which I'll actually come on to shortly, and ensuring that that we talk about the same thing and have essentially one story across the business.
Fantastic. Great. Looking forward to delving more into that as we go through the interview. So what's your background in internal communications? What's your journey been, where you are here?
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting journey, actually, Charlotte. So my passion and my sort of career path started in the events world, very much on the creative side of events. So I worked agency side for a long time, working with corporate companies, engaging their employees so in creative ways. So we would rock up to conferences and do sort of musical events or painting events and things and really sort of thrash out corporate messages using those functions. So it was a really interesting sort of start to my career. I actually live in the northwest of the country, so up in the Lake District. So
beautiful.
In and around
here.
Yeah, it's a great part of it. But when it isn't raining, it's amazing. But it's one of those places where if you don't work for yourself or work in the sort of hospitality industry, you tend to travel. So I started working for a number of small companies. We had a couple of startups working sort of on the marketing and with small companies, as I'm sure you know, you end up doing lots of different things. But I then found myself in a position where I applied for a role as an events and marketing manager, actually, at a company called Small World, which was one of the sort of the last independent cable companies in the UK. It was, a stopgap, and that was about 7 years ago. And I then found myself in the fortunate position that Virgin Media actually bought us out and acquired Small World, which was the best thing that could have happened to me personally. So I ended up moving over to Virgin Media from Small World. There was a big transition period where the businesses kind of came together, and then I became part of Virgin Media, working in the go-to-market part of the business in our
go-to-market mean?
Yeah, so go-to-market is essentially taking our products and ensuring that we acquire as many customers as possible in new areas, in new locations. So some of you may be aware that our business. So Virgin Media is growing. We're expanding our network. We've reached over 2 million additional homes now over the past sort of 5 or so years. So there's a really big program ongoing. And I was part of the team that would go into local areas and ensure that people knew that Virgin Media were around and about. And when those services became available, we'd then sell the products to them, essentially. I was part of the sort of the creative sort of marketing, advertising, messaging behind our Lightning program initially. Then I was doing that for around 3 years and then had an opportunity to move across to internal comms. I've always taken roles or I've made decisions in my career based on people who I work for and work with rather than the role itself sometimes. And I had a really great opportunity to join one of my colleagues and good friends, Hannah Shepherd, in the internal comms team, working for a guy called Jeff Dobbs, who was actually director of our mobile business at the time. He's now our COO, and Jeff's a really inspiring guy. So I thought, this is great. It's an opportunity for me to move into a different part of the business, take all the things that I've learned in the go-to-market sort of external world and bring it internally.
Tell me then how you've used what you'd learned to date in quite a different world. How did you take your learnings into internal communication? What did you kind of add to internal comms at Virgin Media that they might not have had before?
So for me, it's all about the creative messaging, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I think from an internal comms perspective, you can look at it in obviously many, many different ways, but I really enjoy taking what can be sometimes a complex message and really bring it and simplifying it and deliver it in a really creative way. So obviously our people need to understand what we're trying to achieve as a business and make it really simplified, because then that simplification of that message can then be taken externally to our customers as well. Broadband and TV, they can be quite complex beasts sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's so many different products, broadband speeds, or there's lots of different things going on. So it's about taking that and then driving that sort of consistent message that you would do externally and bringing that internally.
Brilliant. I love that. Okay, great. So you as an individual, what motivates you? Clearly creativity is something that you have a real passion for. So what else motivates you as a person?
Yeah, I've always been proactive. So I've always looked to see where there is opportunity to add value. It's not sort of what I don't do or wouldn't do, and I talk to my team about this a lot. It's about doing things differently, looking at things through a different lens. Just because we've always done something the same way, there's always opportunity to look at things differently and sort of grow from that as well. I think for me, it's also about ensuring and I get real joy from seeing my team grow as well. I've got a relatively small team, so about 12 people I have in my team, and sort of taking, and they've come from a very operational background in some instances, but then taking the team and talking to the team about looking at different things and approaching things in different ways really gives me joy when I speak to them about that. I think one thing I did find quite tricky from moving from an external world where you're very much sort of focusing on sort of tangible outputs, so in terms of essentially customer numbers and working with sort of very different budgets, to coming internally. So for me, it's about how can we have a tangible return and really show the value that internal comms is delivering for the business.
Yeah, brilliant. I think it's very interesting, because obviously there are distinct similarities between external communications and internal, but internal has distinct differences in terms of its barriers. You don't have the time, you don't have the luxury of time that you do with external comms. You don't have the budget, and often you don't have the resource of talented, dedicated individuals, do you? So you have to be quite creative in the way that you approach internal communications to make sure you are maximizing the impact you're having.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that comes from things like the stuff that we don't necessarily have massive control over, the likes of budget, but what we do have control over is the skill sets and upskilling and cross-skilling our people. We tend to work in very siloed ways sometimes, but from my perspective, I've got internal comms execs and internal comms managers. They're not necessarily sort of assigned to specific roles across operations. I'd like to think that they'd be able to pick up anything that came in through the door, whether it be in the sales world or the customer service world, whether it's a leadership communication. So bringing all those skill sets together and ensuring that we've got rounded comms professionals is really important to me.
Definitely. It's brilliant. Okay, so just kind of chance to blow your own trumpet here for a second. what do you think has been your biggest success in your career so far? Don't be modest. Don't hold back.
No, it's an interesting one to reflect on, because I'm sure those internal comms professionals that are listening to this podcast would think in similar lines, in terms of we tend to be the messengers of success a lot of the time. So and then we're moving on to the next thing. So we deliver a project or we deliver an announcement or whatever that looks like, and that sort of success, you're kind of deemed, your success is deemed by the success of others sometimes. So that's definitely something that, again, it took me a while to kind of get my head around. But I think in terms of success, I wouldn't necessarily put my finger on anything specific, but I think it's been more about seizing opportunity and looking back at that time where I was in sort of small world, small cable company in the northwest of England, and all of a sudden I found myself in a big organisation where that opportunity was there to grow, and ultimately then with any change comes opportunity and vice versa. And it's been sort of taking the principles and the learnings that I had from working from a small business. So we talk about cross-functional work and squads and working agile. That's a very sort of corporate term at the minute, and it feels as though I've always worked in that way. And I think if you worked in a small business before, if you don't work like that, then you struggle to survive. So taking those principles and learnings that I had in that sort of smaller business environment, taking that into the corporate larger organisation, building relationships and taking opportunities to grow has been there. From a success perspective, culturally
going from a small pond to an ocean. How did you find that shift in terms of managing that kind of that bigger corporate culture versus, or did Virgin Media already have a kind of small business mentality in terms of agility and cross-functional working and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think I've been really fortunate that Virgin Media does feel like a huge small business in some instances, because of the types of people that work there and that it attracts. I mean, that sort of entrepreneurial spirit of Richard Branson clearly resonates with a lot of people.
Even now, after all these years, you can still feel
absolutely. I think the biggest sort of shock to the system was the sort of the fact that we would have budget lines, whereas in smaller organisations you have one budget and then you'd have a conversation and then you spend the money. Whereas I came and was having conversations with marketing and commercial and I was basically essentially asking for money and getting told no sometimes. I was thinking, well, this isn't right. So that was exactly. So that was interesting. But just in terms of working with people, having conversations with great people across the business, and being introduced and working in that proactive cross-functional way
being able to get things done.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. If you can get things done, then even better. And as a business, your question was part of that, we're getting better and better at that, and we're starting to really see some good traction in terms of the ways of working and how we're delivering things.
Brilliant. Okay. So a lot of our listeners, they like to find out a little bit more about our speakers in terms of their day-to-day roles. Are you able to provide us with an insight into, I know to say a typical day in the life would probably be a stupid thing to say, because, I'm not sure in internal communications any day is similar. But if you could just let us know a typical day in the life of your role, what kind of things would you be doing?
Yeah, it's I suppose the pre and post COVID question as well there.
Well, quite. Before... No, absolutely. So let's do, as I call it, BC. Let's do before COVID.
Yeah. Okay. So before COVID, living where I live, and my team are based in Manchester, and a lot of our stakeholders are in sort of Hammersmith and or Reading. I would be on the road, on the rails quite a lot, up from sort of the northwest of England and down into London via Manchester a lot of the time. What I tend to do is front load my my week with reflecting and looking at what's happened the previous week, and obviously looking at what's happening and coming up the week ahead. In terms of my day, you're very right. Every day is a different day. I think sort of before COVID, there were a lot less calls and Zoom conversations, clearly, so there's probably a bit more time to think. But I will always check in with my direct reports. I've got three direct reports who look after the leadership, the sales, and the customer service side of things. So making sure that we're all good to go there. And if there's anything that I need to know about, it's then also around just checking with my stakeholders regularly. We do have we're fortunate enough to have a plan, clearly internal comms plan. It doesn't always go to plan, but in terms of what we've got on the horizon, whether it's a podcast or a video or a note that's going out to people, it's around sort of keeping track on that and firefighting sometimes. But in the ops world, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen, and usually does.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so just talking and just kind of thinking more a bit more broadly about our industry now. In your opinion, how do you think internal communications has changed since you've been working within the industry?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I think there's definitely been a shift away from broadcast, and it's definitely mm-hmm. become more of a dialogue between either EC, so executive committee level, or between our leaders across the business to ensure that we're having a conversation with our people. I think previously it would be very much a case of updating in terms of how the performance of the business or whether we had a specific message to push out across the business to our teams. But now it's very much a case of opening that conversation. So we will absolutely encourage our people to get involved with that. And that really helps in terms of ensuring that we're hitting the right mark when it comes to content and when it comes to sort of ensuring and knowing what people want to hear and again adding value in terms of what we're delivering as an internal comms team. We're on a podcast now. Technology has moved relatively quickly. We've been doing podcasts probably for the last 12 months or so, but we've found that as a really sort of inspiring and engaging way to reach people. We've got field tech guys, so guys essentially and girls installing our customers. So if we can reach them out in their vans where they're out in the field and, you know, through the power of podcasts, then that's great. Similarly, video, we've been doing a lot of video content and it's just a really powerful way of getting our message across. And it's away from a sort of a talking heads scenario. We try to, you know, be as creative as possible, and we've done some pretty cool videos the last
Give us an example.
18 months or so. Give us an example
of one of your videos or one of your podcasts.
Yeah, I might be able to share one of these videos actually when we do the conference.
Yes, please.
So we launched our purpose around 18 months ago, which is building connections that really matter, which has given us some real focus as a business. So everybody really is pulling and working in the same direction. On top of that, we have our North Star, which is to become the most recommended by our people and our customers. So again, it's the really sort of neat way for us to get our internal comms message across and talk about advocacy and sort of get our people talking about our products and our customers really excited about what we do. And now to sort of bundle that up into one, we've created a strategy which is across the business, and it's in the form of a rocket. So we had our CEO and our COO, who's Jeff, who I mentioned earlier, landing on a desert island. They were in a camper van initially, and then they kind of with the rest of DC, they built this rocket, and then they've all sort of shot off to the North Star. So we're currently on our journey, and so making those videos has been amazing and really great fun. And we've had tattoo parlors involved in things as well. So we try and push the boundaries as and when we can, and thankfully. So Jeff and Lutz, our CEO, they don't tend to say no to this stuff. So we just keep
brilliant.
Keep asking,
I love that. That's what you need.
Which is amazing. So we're really fortunate.
That famous quote by the janitor when JFK went to the NASA Space Center, and the JFK said to janitor, "What do you do?" This is all about purpose. He said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Mr. President, I'm helping put a man on the moon."
Exactly. and that's absolutely Indeed, and the rocket, even though it's a simple strategy, it's a simple vessel,
and it's
essentially.
It's a very simple metaphor, very simple creative metaphor.
Absolutely, I think the simpler the better for me, and you can just really work it from there. So we're having some great fun with the rocket.
I bet you. It sounds fantastic.
One of the next part of our journey. So maybe have another update when we speak in September.
Brilliant. Okay, now we can't not talk about COVID-19 and its seismic impact upon all of us. I know that it's been a major challenge for internal communications, but actually also I think it's allowed internal communications to shine, to actually start to get the recognition that it deserves. So from your perspective, what particular challenges have you faced at Virgin Media and how have you overcome them, or how have you adapted your approach?
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, and absolutely, it internal communications, if we were important before COVID, during and post COVID, that sort of the respect and the importance of what we do has really been highlighted, which has been incredible. We've been in a really fortunate position as a business not to be impacted specifically in terms of our customer from COVID-19 with broadband and mobile and telecommunications, people have wanted to be in contact more and more. So we've actually taken on additional people here in the UK, which has been really good. So and obviously with sort of the growth of people and the growth and the demand from a customer perspective, then also puts the demands on the internal comms team. So there was initially we had some challenges around losing some of our offshore support. So we had to in-house a lot of activity and reshuffle a lot of roles within the business, particularly within the sales organisation. So
and at
our retail
speed as well, at pace.
Yeah, very much so, absolutely. So our retail stores weren't able to do what they were doing previously. So we put them into the care space, and there's the retention team stepped in to help the care. Part of the business as well, and from a comms perspective, we absolutely had to ensure that all of these teams knew what they were doing, and from across skilling perspective, we had to really step in and support with that. We've also seen all of our 100% or given people the opportunity for 100% of our people within the operational world, other than those that obviously are out installing customers, to work from home as well. So again, a really big sort of deployment of laptops and phones that the business was facilitating. We again, from a comms perspective, we had to ensure that those people were kept up to date and ensured they knew what they were doing when they were logging on at home and sort of setting themselves up to continue to deliver for the business. So that was really interesting. But I think since then, things sort of started to settle down a little bit. I think with any crisis, you're going to have that initial push. And then there's an opportunity to kind of breathe. And then I think once we actually realised how long this particular this pandemic would last, it was then also about, so how are we going to sort of communicate to our people differently to what we were doing before? I'm sure, again, a lot of people have heard about over-communicating. Essentially, that's what we did initially, and a lot of our leaders we're very much of the opinion it's a case of, right, we need to talk to our people more during this time. Everybody's Absolutely. Isolated, essentially. They're working remotely, so we need to talk to our people. So the sort of regular comms channels and platforms that we had, whether beforehand it may have been a monthly all hands call or a bi-weekly note that would go out, or podcasts, we've increased that volume sort of 2-3-4-fold in some instances. So we've been doing lots and lots of communication with our people. I think that the challenge that we face as well is know when not to communicate also, which is something that our leaders they do want to communicate a lot of the time, but from an internal comms perspective, it's about having that sort of that wider lens view in terms of what's happening outside of the consumer operations world and into the wider business, to ensure that the message still aligns and that we're communicating at the right time and not filling space for the sake of it. Sort of touching back onto our purpose and our North Star, which I mentioned before, that's really helped us refine some of those messages and helped us to
I was absolutely going to ask that very question. how you've used your purpose to reassure your employees during this difficult time.
That's, I mean, building connections that really matter. It's never become, you know, more.
It's never been more relevant, has it?
Yeah, exactly. In terms of our people, but also our customers as well. So it's been, as I said, it's been quite a. We're very fortunate from a business perspective, but our people can really get on the back of what we're doing. Well,
and your purpose is entirely authentic, which is obviously.
Absolutely, and yeah, we're really starting to sort of see that come through now. I suppose in terms of some of the other struggles, I would say the creative process has been a challenge. I think, you know, Zoom calls are great, WebExes are great, but I think there's nothing better than getting in a room with your team or with stakeholders and just having a really great conversation, getting a Sharpie out and an A3 piece of paper, and just working through what's going to happen in the next quarter or the next half of the year. And you know, I talked about the rocket strategy before and the sort of the creative sort of platform that we've delivered there. I think it'd be a real struggle to do something as in depth as that based on how things are at the minute. So I'm really looking forward to when we start to get back into offices and having those, you know, conversations around tables again. That's some of the stuff that I really do miss.
Well, and I think what's going to be really interesting is how we manage the balance between working from home and ensuring collaborative working spaces in the future. There was a survey done recently by People Insight, and apparently only 2% of people want no working from home when we return to whatever new normal is. And so I think one of the things that I'm finding very interesting now is thinking about the future of work and the future of the workplace and how you ensure there are creative collaborative spaces while ensuring that people can still get the work-life balance that they have come to enjoy through working at home, to ensure, you're right, that the creativity element isn't lost by people having to just communicate through screens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes, I'm sure we're all guilty of this, of going into the office for the sake of going into the office sometimes to be visible potentially, but I think once you know sort of change your mindset to actually go into an office space or a creative space to you know, knowing that you're going in there to deliver tangible creative outputs, again it's a different mindset.
It's a different mindset. Absolutely. I think there's so many. Obviously, there's so many terrible things obviously as a result of this, but I think in terms of the kind of expediting the changes that were coming in the workplace, maybe kind of 5 or 10 years down the line, it's actually, you know, it's happened to us now, and I think there are going to be some really good things for work, some really exciting things for work that are going to come out as a result. Okay, so I think we're nearly at the end here, and actually I would really like to just touch on maybe you giving us a little bit of a preview as to what you're going to be talking to us about during our virtual internal communications conference, which is on the 17th and 18th of September. Can you just give our listeners just a brief sneak preview into what you'll be to get them super excited for September?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. September is quite a while away, so 2 months. Something could happen between now and then, but my intention...
No, it really could. It's not going to hold this to you, Chris. It's all right.
So, obviously, I will be talking about what we've been doing during this crisis period. I think there's been as you said, there's been some, obviously, tremendous impacts, but from an internal comms perspective, we've had to really step up and deliver things that we weren't expecting to deliver before. I support the sales world, as I've mentioned, which can be quite a different part of the organisation. It's very much a case of sort of hitting your numbers and, you know, with a commercial lens. But during this period, I've worked closely with our exec director, a guy called Rob Orr, who's been a real inspiration throughout. He's got an ethos. We talked about family first, but also looking after yourselves as well. So there's a really nice message there from a comms perspective. We've really lent on that over the last sort of 2 or 3 months as this has been evolving. And, you know, with one eye on performance, of course, but also from a sort of sales perspective, it's been very much a case of sort of selling with humility and being proud of what we've been doing rather than celebrating. So I'm really looking forward to sharing some of the stuff we've been doing with Rob and his team and the impact that's been having, particularly in the sales world at Virgin Media.
Brilliant. Sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today, Chris. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you and talk to your presentation in September. And I will see you then.
Great. Thanks, Charlotte. Enjoyed it.